The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfy with RE/MAX, the Golfy team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Zamprin.
Yes, good morning once again. You're listening to 900CHML. Rob Golfy is there. So, too, is our special guest today, Brian Hogben, founder of Mission 35 Mortgages, online mission35.com. And while you're surfing the World Wide Web, why not go to robgolfy.com? That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com, for the hottest listings in town. If you want to sell your house, or you're in the market to buy a house, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. They are dominating the social media game when it comes to real estate in this community. TikTok, Facebook, Threads, X, Instagram, they're all over social media. Get your listings on those platforms as well. We've got some interesting topics to chew on today. We're going to talk about fourplexes in the province. There's some federal funding that's expected to be announced officially in the federal budget coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But our premier says, not a big fan of it. We'll tell you why coming up later on in the show. Rob's got a great story about someone who was, well, duped by a realtor. And we're going to begin today with some statistics in Hamilton, Burlington, Niagara, and beyond. Rob, where do you want to start with this?
Yeah, let's go with the stats. I mean, the numbers year over year are looking pretty good. It looks like, you know, in most cases we're up year over year. And but some of the bigger areas with the higher end homes, they're still struggling and trying to, they're still trying to find their way. For instance, like Ancaster, March of last year, they sold 53 homes, and this year they sold 55. So it's pretty close. But last year, benchmark price was $1,080,000, and this year benchmark price is $1,070,000. So I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, like we're still in that adjustment stage. You know, it's floating, flatlining almost. But it is climbing. We are in good shape. The attitude out there with people is very positive. People are, you know, looking at buying real estate. I know there's media saying that possibly interest rates are coming down at the end of this year, but that's not what they're really buying now because of that. They're buying because they're buying. They need to buy a house, and they feel that, you know, the market has settled, and I do feel that we're at a probably at a stable moment where it gives them room. And without the anxiety of having the pressure to put an offer right away on it. But Dundas is up 10% in benchmark price. And it's just because, they actually had sold more homes than last year, but not sure why they're up 10%. Last year, there were 801,700. This year, they're 885,500. And Flamborough, you know, is an area where there's a lot of high-end homes. And it's hard to gauge that. So, but they're up 18% from year over year. Hamilton, overall. Now, when I say Hamilton, I'm talking about Hamilton, excluding Stony Creek, excluding Glanbrook, excluding everywhere else, but just Hamilton. You know, Mountain, East, West, and Central. They're up 3% year over year. So the benchmark price right now in proper Hamilton is $675,000, which is, and the one thing I don't like is when the real estate board comes out with their stats and they come out with either average price or benchmark price, whatever they come out with, they blend that in with the Burlington numbers, which is totally, I feel, are a true number that you can go by. Mm-hmm. Like if you blend Burlington and Hamilton together, your number is going to be close to high sevens and low 800s. And that's not a true number that should be said.
That's the number that's going to discourage people from getting into the housing market. When you look at 675, you're getting in for a down payment of 30, 35 grand. That's actually affordable for a lot of people to get into for their first home.
Yeah, so you know, when you get that email, Rick, and it, you know, and it shows all the numbers when they say, oh yeah, the benchmark or average price. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of how they do that. They should separate it. They're two different cities, and the two different cultures too in each city. Now Burlington, is March over March is up 4% in benchmark price. Now, if you looked at Burlington, there was opportunities there. Like I gave you the 6 months in Burlington. So if you look, Burlington took a pretty well nosedive in December, January, but look how it's climbing back up. It's over $100,000 in the course of two, 3 months. Wow. So like over here, look at this. November it was 912,500. December 945,000. January it dropped to 905,000. Then look at February, it jumped to $1,010,000, and now we're March, it's at $1 million at a benchmark price. And I knew that was going to happen, and it'll happen again at the end of this year. I'm going to tell you, Burlington, for some reason, nobody wants to buy houses and everybody wants to sell, and that's when you got to go in and buy a house. So Burlington was there was an opportunity there in the last few months. And if you go to Niagara experienced a lot of ups. Niagara Falls especially. Niagara Falls took a little bit of a nosedive March over March, and Thorold took and went up. But I'm surprised Niagara Falls is I guess it's readjusting, because if you go to Niagara Falls 6 months in October, they were actually 593,000. They dropped down to 585, but now they're at 623,000. So in the last 6 months, they've performed very well. A lot of the areas have performed in the last 6 months. So once we get to probably the summertime, we're going to start seeing all pluses on year over year. I think it might be. Yeah.
Well, you look at the past 6 months there. I remember us sitting down talking that Q4 saying, great time to buy, November, December time. Not a lot of people wanting to get into it. Still some uncertainty in the marketplace, but those numbers show that, it's gone up almost 10% in 6 months in some market areas.
Yeah, no. So it's I get it. The housing prices are still expensive, and they're going to be expensive forever. I'm going to tell you that.
I think the tough thing too is affordability, right? Because there's been a lot of stuff in the news on the stress test still. Is a stress test really required still? Because yes, it was a great idea to qualify people for 2 points above the target rate, years ago, but is it really necessary today?
Well, the stress test was for because of today.
Correct.
You're right. Do we need this stress test today? Now,
right? Like, do I need to qualify at 8 or 9? Because I think, we've peaked, all things being equal. It looks like we're going to be, flatlining, going down a little bit soon, but do we need to be qualifying 8 or 9? Because that is what's really hurting people, is just to get people into the affordability situation is the tough one.
Yeah. And it's, definitely they got to change it. But the government, once they lock in something, they never unlock it. It's done. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Just like they did with the, in the 70s, Rick, you probably, I think they put in a thing. This is a funny story. Now, people that are closer to my age will understand it. If lunch, there was no taxes on lunch because of $4 or under.
Really?
There's no tax. Wow. If you bought lunch for $4 or under, there is no tax. Well, they kept that. But lunch you can't get for $4.
What about Toonie Tuesdays
somewhere, You can't get lunch. So if you go buy someplace, if you go and buy a soup, right? A soup, and it's probably under $4, mm-hmm. you'll see there's no tax.
Huh.
But why don't they increase that to $10, $12 now? But they don't do that. Well, nobody talks about it except us right now.
Same thing with the $1 million cap, right? Like they won't let you buy a house over $1 million with unless you have 20% down.
Yeah.
Right. But for a lot of people in the major market centers, that's your entry point.
That's
for,
right.
Toronto's.
And that's why those people that have houses that are $1 million, $10 million, $20,000, they're struggling to get over $1 million because the market just can't afford to buy it at a million or more because of the fact of the down payment.
Yeah. So, and that's not going to be changed anytime soon. The government, the last thing they want to do when they slow down inflation is to loosen up mortgage rules.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening. If anything, there's one coming in about loan to income. They might be adding another one. So
I
don't think it's going to have a big effect, but
life is becoming tough out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'll tell you something. For an entrepreneur, in the 80s, 90s, sometimes they did a little bit of creative financing, but they managed to hold on to the property. They went through it, but now it is tough for a guy for creativeness. I mean, there is some creativeness out there, but
it's hard.
I remember I bought properties with zero down. I went to the bank. I remember this lady, CIBC. She was at in Niagara Falls at the corner of Main Street and Ferry Street. Boom. And she recalls me. She goes, yeah, I'm looking for a loan to put as a down payment for a house I want to buy.
She said, sure, you look like a good guy.
And you know what? And she couldn't believe it. I was 20 years old. And I got the loan. And I did. And I bumped into her many, many years later, and she remembers doing that. She goes, I couldn't believe a young guy like you would come in and have the guts to ask for a loan.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? And that's what we say, too. You don't ask, you don't get. And never take no for an answer until you give someone the option to say yes. Yeah. Because a lot of times you talk to the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a no. You get shot down, right? You might not think you can sell your house for what you want to sell it for. You talk to Rob. You might not think you can get into the housing market. But you got to talk to the right people.
But I was 20 years old. And I looked into her eyes, and she couldn't say no. I was a young guy.
The truth comes out. The truth comes out.
That's the truth comes out. I say, will you please help me,
please?
So yeah, that was an exciting moment. I'll never forget. I remember sitting there and talking about getting that loan and stuff like that. It was good. It was really good. So,
but otherwise, the market is doing well. The people are positive out there. They're feeling good. And we actually personally, as the Golfy team, we had a really good month. In sales. So we outperformed the real estate board, which I was really happy. So that means, people are calling us and liking our strategies and our systems that we put in place and our marketing that we put on their house and getting them the top dollar in a short period of time for their house.
Yeah. And I think seeing the market go up too, we've seen our submissions double. We always track submissions to lenders, and over month, we've seen them jump up over 100%. So that means that people are looking for loans, looking to get pre-approved, and looking to move into the market now.
Well, that's a great sign. I have a question or two that we'll get to the other side of the break here, just about Toronto and whether or not what they are seeing down the highway is going to change what we're going to see in this community in the next couple months. But we'll tackle that next year. If you want to sell your house, you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. More of the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, next on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. My name's Rick Samprin. Pleased to be joined once again by Rob Golfy, sales representative, REMAX Scartman Realty, the Golfy team, the number one REMAX team in Canada. Get your home sold in this wild and wacky spring market, 905-575-7700. Online, the website is robgolfi.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And if you're curious as to what your home could go for on the open market, go to golfihomevalue.com and get a good instant home estimate. Also joining us today is Brian Hogman, founder of Mission 35 Mortgages. Their website, mission35.com. If you are renewing your mortgage or you're in hunting for a new mortgage, mission35.com, the website that you need to go to. Rob, you got a great story about a landlord rental dispute. But before we get to that, we were just going through the statistics in Hamilton and Burlington, Niagara region, in Toronto. Year over year, March 2023 to March 2024, sales down 12%. The price, however, up 7%, $845,000 a year ago to $900,000 last month. And back in January of 2024, so just a couple months ago, it was $763,000 and change. Just call it $764,000. So in a matter of just a couple months, the average price in Toronto has gone up $136,000. Is that an indicator that home sellers in Hamilton are looking at to think, wow, we're probably going to go in that same direction?
Well, they almost followed what Burlington did. They took a nosedive during December and January, and then things started coming in. And you know how I always say, you know, February is when you should start really, you know, getting your house on the market. But look, in March, they actually even climbed to 900,000. You know what? I do feel the second half of this year is going to be a very good year for real estate, especially people that are selling. And that, now when I'm saying it's going to be a good year, I think houses will sell. They will climb in value, but not as significant as it did in the past. We're going to see that, you know, just the normal, you know, 1, 2, 3 or, you know, percent, 4% or whatever. Just because of the fact there is a positiveness in the feel of people buying houses. And there may be drop in interest rates, which I know the government is struggling with it, because they know if they drop it, they don't want to have the market go boom. And if they did it now, for sure, it would be chaos.
Yeah.
And it'd be multiple offers. It'd be crazy. So they're going to be very, very cautious in how they do the interest rate drop at the end of this year. But I do feel last year in the second half of 2023, the market was not good. In some parts, it was almost dormant. In the last quarter of 2023, the market was dormant. That's why you saw in some big areas, the housing market dropped quite a bit. So no matter what, even if you even if you had your house priced right, it wasn't selling. It was a ghost town, let's just say.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see, to your point there, even if interest rates don't drop as expected, and we see the Bank of Canada hold next week, right? And then you see them hold again, you know, they're saying maybe June or July. But even if they hold in June and July, what that does is create consistency.
Yeah.
And then with consistency, it creates certainty.
Yeah.
Right? And the other thing not to forget is we had record number of immigration over the past year and a half, 2 years. Well, guess what? That's a lot of pent-up demand. And when people are new to the country, they don't instantly come new to the country and buy a home. Almost 18 months to 2 years in for them to get settled, get the down payment, get ready to figure out where they want to buy. So now you have all those new buyers that are going to be entering the marketplace, which is, again, going to cause an increase in price there as well, too. I don't think we'll see, again, the record numbers that we've seen before. But even like if we see that interest rate drop, huge push. Even if we see it stay the same, I think you're still going to see, to your point, Rob, a big increase.
They have to do an interest rate drop because the builders aren't building as much as they want them to. So they like, and it's a catch 22 here. They're in a big bind right now. They don't know what to do. And I get it. Like, but they just don't want inflation to go crazy again.
Anyone who is a faithful listener to the Golfy Real Estate Show Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML will have heard some horror stories between landlords and tenants. And Rob, you have a new one to share with our audience.
Yeah, so I get this lady to call me, and she was, you know, she's going through some problems right now. So she gets a call. I get a call from this lady asking me if I could sell her home with the tenant in there. Like she just signed a lease probably about 3 months ago, hoping the buyer will assume the tenant. Now she's telling me that, you know, that she got this tenant from Kijiji, right? He came in and it was a man. He calls her about, you know, he's got a story. He's got a couple of kids and, you know, he's going through a rough time, you know, like, you know, I'm not sure if there was a separation or something like that. And he needs a place for his kids. So it was kind of a sad story. And she kind of felt for him, right? Cause she went through, I think, a divorce and stuff like that. And she needed a place. And she goes, I'm going to help this guy out. So he, well, you know, and so he went through this, you know, the similar story. And so, she didn't really do her due diligence yet. So, but he asked if he could, maybe just like, she said, I'm going to give you the house, but I still got to, you know, do some checking. And he says, well, can I just set up the kids' beds? That like, because it took a lot of work to set the kids' beds. And she said, okay. So she gave him a key. And, so then she stays after, a big moving truck in the driveway. And this guy's unloading everything. Like it was just supposed to be the kids' bed. So anyway, she's got this anxiety like you would not believe. So and she's like, you know, like you don't know what's going on now. Now she's got this tenant. She doesn't have, you know, things signed or anything. So anyway, not even 3 months, this guy's way behind on this rent. Oh, 3 months. So anyway, and the home's a disaster. And other people have moved in, right? Other people, yeah, this is bad, bad.
Wow.
So she's starting to serve him, you know, the N-4s, like, you know, late rent and all that kind of stuff. After the second form of late rent, the guy goes, well, hey, your forms are no good because you didn't put your address where you live or where. So she screwed up. So she's trying to save money. She's trying to save money by doing it herself. OK, but I'm going to get to the end story on this. So so she calls me and I tell her, I says, get a paralegal. Yes. I says, you will save more money because the paralegal is going to make sure there's no mistakes made. Because now I says, how would you like to get to right to the court date? I go, you got him to the court date and there's something wrong on your paperwork and it took you 9 months to get there. And if you have a mistake on your forms, you're going to be dropped right back
of the line.
Back of the line. Yeah. And which is wrong, because I think the landlord tenant board should be a little bit more sympathetic. You know, if there's a little bit of mistake, we both know you're both there. The tenant's not paying the rent. The landlord's not getting his rent. Listen, so what? There's a little mistake on the paperwork. We both understand who they are. I that's the one thing I don't like about the landlord tenant board. So, and I tell her, I said to her, so you already lost 2-3 months. I said, you're already lost. So you got to start all over again because those forms are no good. So I said, here, here's a couple of paralegals, call them, let them handle it. I says, you're going to lose money on this. I said, you're going to lose money. It's just how much money and time you want to, how much more time and money you want to lose. So anyway, so there's no way that anybody's going to buy a house that has a 9 month left tenancy agreement on there and knowing that that there's a tenant there that's not good. Now, because she's disclosed that to me, I can't sell that to somebody saying, hey, you know, like, this is a great deal and why don't you buy it? But you're going to have to assume the tenant. Meanwhile, the tenant's not paying anything. So what do we do?
Have you ever seen that where someone ends up saying, oh, yeah, the tenant is great. The tenant is perfect. And then all of a sudden they got themselves into a tough situation.
Because
I could see sometimes sellers being dishonest just to get rid of it and saying like, oh, sure, Rob's the A1 tenant.
Yeah.
He cuts the grass, waters the flowers. He's amazing.
Yeah, it's so she's in a really bad, bad situation. And I know there's a lot of other people out there in the same situation. There's tenants have for some reason have come out of the woodwork even more so now, taking advantage of the system. But so anyway, so I said to her that it's going to be difficult to sell it with the tenant there. Then she says, can I move in? I says, well, you move in, you better move in, because if you don't move in, you can get a $50,000 fine. So I says, you better move in for at least a year. So, so anyway, 2 days later, I get another call from her and she goes, Rob, what do you think, about me selling? I said, look, I go, if you price this house, bang on, we set up times for showings. And like, I mean, it's got to be priced. You can't, like I said, and she bought in a high time too, right? She bought in the first quarter of 2022, which was almost at the very peak.
Right.
So her house is probably worth maybe 150, 200,000 less than what she bought it for. So that's another indicator right there. And basically I said to her, I go, are you willing to lose, probably $150,000 on a, if you sell your house now, you're going to lose $150,000 on closing date. Do you have money in the bank to write a $150,000 check to close this deal? I says, because otherwise you can't, like, you're going to lose. So here's what I suggest. I said, look, I go, don't bother even selling it. I said, because if you do sell it and the tenant doesn't move out, you're going to get sued. So I said, it just creates another problem. And you know, you got a problem here. So I said, why don't you do this? Get a paralegal, get this guy out. And then once he's out, you're going to have to clean it. This house is beautiful inside. I'm telling you, like, I feel bad for her because they're going to destroy it. I said, get the tenant out. And it's going to take, you know, 6 to 10 months to get him out. And just follow the course of action. I go, you're going to lose money regardless. It's just, you know, like, I'm just giving her what the pain is going to be in the future for the next.
Well, and that's a lot bigger savings than losing 100 or 150,000.
Yeah.
Like, I think the best money I've ever spent is on a paralegal.
Yeah.
Like, we've had some tenant issues in the past, and not all landlords are created equal. Like, some landlords are bad.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I would say in my experience and yours too, Rob, there's way more good than bad.
Yeah.
But the good are silent.
That's
the bad that make the news. It's the bad that you hear about. But the paralegal, it is an additional cost, and you have to pay the retainer, and you keep going. And for me, I like to get things done really, really quick, and it feels like we're moving like molasses sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it. I 100% agree.
You just have to suck it up and just prepare your mind saying this is how long it's going to be and prepare yourself of the loss. And you get to write off that loss. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, so after that, I said, look, I go, first of all, you paid a lot of money for the house. You're better off just getting the tenant out. Keep the house for at least another couple of years. I says, you will recoup your money that what you paid for it, but it's going to take 2-3 years. I says, the market will catch up to what you paid for it and then you'll be good. But just get the guy out. Just get that one guy out. And I told her, I says, do not get, and the other thing is get a realtor to find you the tenant. Cause we will go through, credit reports. We will do a thorough check on everything. And she didn't really do that. She went by emotions. And this guy, you know, looked into her eyes just like I did. I was 20 years old, got the mortgage and everything. But I was sincere. This guy's not sincere. Anyway, so this guy took advantage of a lady. And you know what? And that's where most of the bad tenants come from. They won't go to a realtor and go through because they know we're going to do a check on them.
Yeah. Well, you have a process, right? Most landlords, if you have one or two properties, you don't have a process. You meet, you shake hands, you like each other, but you have a checklist, you check the credit, you get employment verification, you have great due diligence on the person, and that's what you want to have, right? And there's that other one, did I share that with you? There's a website now where you can see if somebody's got I think it's called Open Source
or Open One or Open One or something like that. You can check to see if they've had claims against them.
You just type in the name, you can type in Brian Hogman. Well, don't type in that one, but you can type in Brian Hogman, and it says whether or not there has been any, I believe,
court orders
or judgments against them.
Yeah.
And I've just started using that.
On my computer now.
And that's something right? Where the average person
doesn't know.
Isn't going to know.
You know what? And the other thing was we just bought a property management company. We close on it in probably about 10 days.
Awesome.
And so we will have our own property management company called Golfy Property Management. So anybody is looking to want somebody to manage your property, we will do it for you and just give us a call. And we're easy to find. Our website will be up and running in about 30 to 60 days from now.
Do you have any, what type of properties you guys can use?
All sorts, like small apartment buildings, single family duplex.
You know, that is a great niche. Cause I'll tell you, when I was looking for property management in the past, nobody wanted to do the onesie, twosie, threesie.
Yeah. No, that'll be kind of the direction we're going. Yeah. So we bought a company and we're going to transfer the name and basically and the guy's staying on board with us to work with us for 2 years. So So I just want to let everybody know that it is sad that somebody taking advantage of somebody like that. I don't know how they can live with themselves or look at themselves in the mirror in the morning. And if you're a bad tenant out there, you know what? Karma will get back to you. So you should not do that to other people.
Cause it doesn't last forever. You eventually have to get out. You will eventually get out of the property, right? It's just going to take time.
By the way, I did a quick Google search on the landlord database you guys are talking about. It's openroom.ca.
Open. That's room. Right. Open room. Yeah.
Just quickly, because we got 90 seconds in this. Apart from doing, or maybe apart from contacting the Golfy team about this individual, what should this lady have done to avoid this scenario? Just a better background check?
Yeah, she shouldn't have given the key and felt sorry for him. She should have done a background check. And did a credit check and everything else like that. I'm going to tell you, people out there, if you think you're going to save money, and everybody always tries, it's going to cost you more money. It's like hiring that cheap plumber. Oh, guess what? Now you got to hire the real good plumber to fix the cheap plumber that didn't really, that failed in plumbing school or whatever. Like, don't cheap out. Don't call your friend that thinks he's a plumber, he's not a plumber. Don't get the right professional doing the work. You will save money in the long run. Now this person will pray and say, I should have. But now it's too late.
And I think the red flag is that urgency. When you have someone that's got to move in right away, 1 week from now, a day from now, my red flag goes up, my spidey sense goes up, and I like to slow down the process. And I think a realtor like you guys have a great system for that.
Yeah.
You can get the best of the best on your side by going online to robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com and mission35.com. We're going to talk about fourplexes in Ontario. Are they coming soon to a city near you? That's next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinion opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfie, sales representative, REMAX Siskartman Realty, the Golfie team, online at robgolfie.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And you'll be calling the number one REMAX team in Canada by dialing 905-575-7700, 905-575-7700. Follow them on TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and X as well. And if you have a question or a topic idea you would like us to discuss on a future show, send them an email, questions@robgolfie.com. Our special guest today is Brian Hogman, founder of Mission 35 Mortgages. Find them online at mission35.com. So earlier this week, the federal government, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his housing minister, Sean Fraser, said, you know what, we're going to in the upcoming budget, April 16th, add $6 billion of new money for infrastructure to help provinces and territories build more homes. Most of that funding, though, comes with a bit of a catch, and it is that catch is allowing development of four-unit residential dwellings. Here's the other side of the equation is that Ontario Premier Doug Ford says, you know what, he's not going to force municipalities to do that. It'll be up to municipalities in this province to say, hey, federal government, we want some of this money, and yeah, we'll allow fourplexes. Do either of you foresee any trouble in the waters with this?
I agree with Doug Ford, because I wouldn't want a four-story fourplex next door to me. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a residential neighborhood, right, and they're all bungalows or whatever, two stories, like especially the older properties, because they've got bigger lots and everything like that. I wouldn't want somebody buying it and all of a sudden you got this big, you know, four-story building next to you. I think there's a proper area, proper street, proper location for those kind of houses. Like downtown Hamilton, there's a lot of big houses that were built in the early 1900s that could
already fourplexes.
They're already fourplexes, mm-hmm. and it's not a problem. But like going to a neighborhood, I'm looking at where I live. I have a bungalow, and my lot is 100 by 150, so it's a good sized lot. Like, I mean, it pretty well every sprawled out pretty, you know, on one level in my neighborhood. Now, if there was a big four story building going next door, I kind of would not like that. But you know what? But the opportunity for investors, this is perfect for investors, because I would want to have a fourplex, because that's how investors make money. But I think Doug Ford saying every municipality should because they know their city and town,
right,
they should make the decision on where and how and when it should be. I don't know. You're looking at me differently.
Well, I
are investors.
I know. And I, you know what? I look at it in my area, right, where it's like I would prefer, because I guess the two things, right, because everybody's that not in my backyard sort of mentality. But I would say if I had the option, because we have a housing shortage issue between putting a fourplex up beside me, right? And maybe it's a three story, maybe you cap it a little bit. Cause I have seen some nice, especially in like the Duran neighborhood, where like there's been some great architecture where they've made the old Victorians and it's a brand new built fourplex. You're like, wow, that actually looks nice. Yeah. And I think the quality of tenant you're going to get for certain neighborhoods, like if someone built a fourplex in your neighborhood, I don't think it'd be a shanty town. It'd be a nice one, right?
Oh, for sure.
So you'd probably get a decent quality tenant. But I think the alternative is if we don't do this, then we do have to go bigger. I mean, we do have to do the multifamily, because I also live near apartment buildings.
Right.
And if I had to choose to have a fourplex that's brand new built and probably with good quality tenants in there versus a 20, 30, 40 unit, because that's the other sort of multifamily solution, I'll take the fourplex.
Yeah.
Right. So that's sort of my thought on it. I get it.
And we both live in two different kind of neighborhoods.
True.
Yeah. So that's the difference also. So, I do feel that the cities and towns should be able to, let them decide to do it. Not just have Trudeau say, everybody fourplexes, I don't care where, just build them. You know what I mean? I
agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Some governance is important, right? Yeah. Because I agree with that. I think it'll be interesting to see how it lays out, but like, I think people who are building fourplexes in order to make the cash flow work, because building's expensive, you're probably going to have to build a high quality fourplex.
For sure.
And you're going to have to build a nice one.
Yeah.
Right? So I think,
absolutely.
And if you have to build a nice one because your construction costs are high, that means your cash flow's got to be good. So that means you got to be charging higher rent.
Yeah.
So I guess when I envision it, I envision nice fourplexes.
Yes. Yeah.
But not the other ones.
No.
Toronto and Mississauga already moving to allow these. Do you, if one or two municipalities are going to do it, I can see this spreading like wildfire because the other municipalities are going to be like, we need to build homes. We want some of this funding too.
Absolutely. I do agree there. You know what? They always watch the other, the bigger brothers doing it, the bigger cities. And then they say, okay, well, look like it worked for them. Let's implement that in our little, community and see and just go with it.
Yeah.
Seeing your mortgage rates rise? Well, go to mission35.com and get some great rates from Brian Hogman and his team at Mission 35 Mortgages. And if you're in the market to buy a home or sell yours, call the number one REMAX team in Canada. That is the Golfy team. The phone number is 905-575-7700. The website, robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Do open houses still work? We'll talk about that when we come back on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
One more go-round here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, REMAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700 is the number to call. You'll be calling the number one REMAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. The website is robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Check them out on TikTok and Threads, Facebook, Instagram, and X. And if you're looking for a new mortgage and wondering where rates are, call the best. Brian Hogman, founder, Mission 35 Mortgages, their website, mission35.com. Interesting story in, I think it was the Toronto Star earlier this week about open houses and how some realtors love them, some others, not so much. Rob, do they still work?
They do. I mean, there was a time that I felt they weren't really good, but as my team grew, we found that they do work because I wouldn't do them on high-end homes. That's the one thing, because then you got the people just snooping around that can't afford them and they're just walking through the house because they just felt they got nothing else to do. But I do feel that, you know, the houses that like there are people looking for houses out there, and, you know, and like if it's priced right, somebody from that walked in on that open house is going to buy that house. Now, houses sometimes take 60 days to sell. Maybe during that 60 days, they have to reduce their price. And that's why it's sold in 60 days. But if the house is priced right, you're going to get people looking at these houses. Sometimes people don't want their realtors with them. They just want to walk through, and just go on their own merry way and look at these houses. They are buyers. Now, again, you do get your neighbors walking in and, you know, looking at it and comparing, oh, my house is better than this. I should be getting, you know, $100,000 more for my house or whatever. You get that. But I do feel that they do work. In some cases, we do like 40 open houses in one weekend. And sometimes we refer, say, hey, we have another house on so-and-so street that you might be more interested in. And we have the capabilities of doing that. So we have our open house list and we show that to our clients. Cause I mean, we have a lot of houses in the same price range. So if we're doing an open house of a house that's $700,000, so guess what? We're going to tell them about our other open houses that we have around that price range. And maybe even other houses in the area that are in that price range. So open houses, a lot of people say that they don't work because they just don't want to do it. They want their Sundays off. I do believe they do work.
I think too, like I remember going through open houses with friends before, and then friends want to live close to friends.
Yes.
You know, so that house, maybe they're not really thinking about selling, but the friends who live there do come over. You go through the house, you're like, oh, we could be neighbors now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't you think this place is awesome? And I think you can almost have your neighbors sell the house.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In a way, by having that open house, because they would never book a showing otherwise.
Yeah.
But they're there on a Sunday, the door's open.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they can see themselves living closer to their friends.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The open house is fantastic. And especially, you're right, like how your neighbor, Sometimes they have somebody that might be interested in it, or, you know, if they're in laws, you don't tell them about it.
$10 million.
Do not invite the in laws over on Sunday because there's an open house. We don't want them walking through the house. That's all. but a lot of the people I'm going to tell you is that sometimes they don't want to sign on the front lawn. But I'll tell you, a lot of the people that end up buying a house in certain streets, it's because they know somebody on that street. They visited people on that street. They've driven down that street. It's very familiar, and they want to be near family or friends or whatever. Mostly family. I know that because we find a lot of people buy houses, and if an open house is there, they're going to want to be there and go into it for sure. Open houses do work. It's a small percentage, but I mean, if every house was priced right, every open house would be sold. Like every house on the open house list would be sold right away.
That's a good point. Are there still safety and security concerns during open houses? Like, I'd imagine some potential criminals might just pose as prospective home buyers. Like, you got to protect yourself against that.
Yes, absolutely. We watch for that. We keep an eye on that. We kind of know, you know, if we find something very, you know, like somebody kind of doesn't belong in this kind of neighborhood, like they're just not dressed the right way and just, you know, and it's sad to say, yeah, we're judging people how, but you know what? We're there to protect, to make sure our client doesn't have anything missing or anything like that. So, but we do, but our job is to walk with everybody around. And if it gets a little bit busy, sometimes we say, can you just wait here at the entrance at the foyer? And because you want to bring two or three people through, that's it.
I feel like I'm always being watched if I go through an open, because I still like going through open houses sometimes too. I'm still like looking, but I feel like I'm being watched and listened to because everybody has a nest now. Everybody has some sort of,
they have
maybe
cameras,
the teddy bear with the eyes are looking at me. Like, you know, I'm just going in poker face being like, this is a beautiful home.
You just don't want to, you know what? You're right, because you got to watch because there's cameras everywhere now. You can't do anything. You got to be careful. And that's a good safety mechanism.
Yeah.
Then you can find out who was there. You know,
absolutely. You can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for the Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Again, if you want to sell your house or in the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Thanks for listening to the Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9:00. On 900 CHML.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.